Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Firms of Endearment: How World-Class Companies Profit from Passion and Purpose is a business and management book by Rajendra S. Sisodia, David B. Wolfe, and Jagdish N. Sheth. It examines a group of companies that the authors argue create value not only for shareholders, but also for employees, customers, suppliers, communities, and the environment. The book belongs to the broader conversation about purpose-driven business, stakeholder capitalism, and long-term competitive advantage. Rather than treating profit as the sole measure of performance, it presents emotional connection, trust, and social value as strategic assets. Through case studies of well-known companies such as Costco, Whole Foods, Southwest Airlines, Harley-Davidson, Timberland, and IKEA, the authors show how a strong culture and a broader sense of responsibility can support durable growth. Its purpose is both analytical and prescriptive to challenge narrow shareholder-first thinking and to explain why companies that are deeply admired often become economically stronger over time. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the central idea: companies that people love create stronger long-term performance. The book's core argument is that the most resilient companies are not merely efficient or profitable, but beloved by the people they serve. Sisodia and his co-authors define firms of endearment as organizations that generate emotional, experiential, social, and financial value for all major stakeholders. This is important because it shifts the logic of competition away from short-term transactions and toward relationship quality. The authors argue that when customers trust a company and employees feel respected, the business gains advantages that are difficult for rivals to copy. Loyalty, advocacy, lower friction, and stronger internal commitment all become part of the company's competitive position. The book therefore treats affection and purpose as business assets rather than soft extras. This is one of its most distinctive moves because it reframes business excellence as a multidimensional outcome, not just a financial one. Secondly, stakeholder orientation as a practical business model, not just an ethical stance. A major theme in the book is that broad stakeholder responsibility is presented as a source of strategic strength, not as a charitable side project. The authors insist that successful companies must serve customers, employees, suppliers, communities, and investors in a balanced way. This is not described as idealism disconnected from business reality. Instead, it is framed as the only sustainable path in a more demanding marketplace. By improving the quality of relationships across the system, companies reduce conflict and create more stable conditions for growth. The stakeholder model also challenges the older assumption that value creation for one group must come at the expense of another. In the book's view, companies that deliberately design for mutual benefit often build stronger reputations and more resilient operations. This gives the framework practical relevance for leaders who want to move beyond corporate slogans and embed responsibility into strategy, culture, and decision-making. Thirdly, culture, purpose, and trust as engines of competitive advantage. The book gives strong attention to the internal culture of firms and the role it plays in sustaining performance. Purpose is not treated as a decorative mission statement. It is described as a force that shapes behavior, priorities, and long-term consistency. Companies that align people around a meaningful purpose tend to attract more committed employees and create stronger coordination inside the organization. Trust is equally central because it lowers the cost of doing business and makes relationships more durable. When customers and employees believe that a company is authentic, they are more likely to remain loyal even when alternatives exist. The authors use this logic to show why culture can be economically significant. A healthy culture supports innovation, service quality, and adaptability, while a fragmented or cynical culture weakens execution. This topic is one of the book's key contributions because it links internal values to external performance in a concrete and managerial way. Fourthly, case studies of admired companies demonstrate how purpose shows up in practice. The book is grounded in examples of companies that are widely recognized for distinctive stakeholder practices, including Costco, Whole Foods, Southwest Airlines, Harley-Davidson, Timberland, and IKEA. These examples are used to show that the firms of endearment idea is not theoretical abstraction. Each case illustrates a company that built strong relationships through customer experience, employee treatment, brand identity, or social responsibility. The practical value of the case study method is that it shows how purpose can appear in different industries rather than as a single formula. Some firms win through service culture, others through brand community, and others through consistent value delivery. Together, they support the author's claim that businesses can excel by being deeply useful and emotionally resonant at the same time. The cases also help readers see that purpose-driven management is compatible with scale, profitability, and market success, which makes the book more persuasive than a purely philosophical argument. Lastly, a critique of narrow shareholder capitalism and a broader view of capitalism itself. Another important dimension of the book is its challenge to the traditional shareholder-first model of capitalism. The authors argue that business thinking has often been too focused on quarterly returns, financial engineering, and narrow investor expectations. In contrast, they present a broader vision in which companies contribute to society while still producing strong economic results. This is why the book is often discussed in the context of the transformation of capitalism and the rise of stakeholder thinking. Its significance lies in the claim that economic value and social value do not have to be opposing goals. Instead, the most durable firms are those that integrate them. The authors use this argument to push readers to rethink what counts as a high-performing company and what kind of leadership is needed in a changing economy. The book stands out because it combines moral critique with business logic, making it relevant both to executives and to readers interested in the future of capitalism. In conclusion, Firms of Endearment is best suited for business leaders, executives, entrepreneurs, consultants, and students of management who want a serious alternative to narrow profit maximization. It will also appeal to readers interested in stakeholder capitalism, corporate purpose, brand loyalty, and organizational culture. Its practical benefit is that it shows how long-term business strength can emerge from trust, emotional connection, employee commitment, and responsible treatment of multiple stakeholder groups. Intellectually, it offers a clear challenge to the idea that shareholder value is the only meaningful standard of success. What makes the book stand out in its genre is that it does not present purpose as a vague ethical preference. Instead, it connects purpose to performance through recognizable companies and a coherent strategic argument. Compared with many business books that focus on tactics or personal leadership style, this one addresses the structure of capitalism itself and asks what kinds of firms deserve admiration in the modern economy. That broader ambition gives it enduring relevance. If you would like to support Rajendra S. Sisodia, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.